the wonderful thing about doing this show, the wonderful thing about doing a 10 plus years, almost 11 years, 11 plus years long show about the Berenstain Bears is that I get to do whatever I want, whenever I want it. And if things screw up or don't quite happen the way I want them to, where I used to panic and scramble, now I can just say, doesn't matter. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to turn this roadblock into a secret shortcut. I'm going to turn this obstacle into an opportunity. So this week, guess what? We're not covering a Berenstain Bears book. How's that make you feel? Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bear cast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week, like I said already, we're not covering a Berenstain Bears book. And why? Why would I do this? Why would I make you feel this way? Why would I make you feel so lost and abandoned and unloved by the people that you considered people you can trust? Why would a Berenstain Bears boy, me, not talk about the Berenstain Bears? I'll tell you why. It's because I ordered this week's book in anticipation of covering it this week. It hasn't come yet. I ordered it from a local bookstore because I'm trying to support indie bookstores. And it just takes longer because as someone who works at an indie bookstore, I can tell you right now that the distribution warehouses, the companies that provide the books for sale, prioritize indie bookstores far, far, far down the list, way under the Targets and the Amazons and the Barneses and Noble. So you just got to wait. Sometimes you just got to wait. So the book isn't here yet. It should be here by next week, but it's not here yet. So instead of crying, instead of mewling, instead of puking like a newborn babe, I decided to dive deeper into the subject matter of this week's attempted book. Now, this is a lot of talking. What book were you going to try to cover? I was going to try to cover 2026's brand new book, Baby Berenstain Bears, Pacifier Time. Now, stop. I know what you're saying. Phil, didn't you just a few short years ago cover this book? Did you not already do this book? And I say yes, and I say no. Yes, because I covered a similar book. No, because that book was the previous board book, Berenstain Baby Bears, Pacifier Time. And that book was about unnamed baby bear. Remember, the Berenstain Baby Bears took place in a universe in which the bear family may or may not have existed. They took place maybe or maybe not in Bear Town, with an unnamed bear family who had an unnamed baby most of the time. Except like one where I think Too Tall showed up in one of them. In any case, Pacifier Days, A Fond Farewell, was about this baby being, it was told in rhyme, and it was about this baby being suddenly aware that its parents were concerned about its constant use of a pacifier and how it decided sort of its own volition to put away childish things and take a step into maturity by abandoning the pacifier. And I spent most of the episode not discussing the book because there's hardly any plot, and mostly discussing the history of pacifiers. So if you want to find that one, search for Berenstain Bearcast Pacifier Days and you'll find it. It's a short episode, but if you want to know the history of pacifiers, quick rundown, they've existed for as long as there have been babies, and most of them were hideously dangerous, and then modern pacifiers, not so bad. Modern pacifiers, there's a lot of myths around them that have been, if not disproven, then never proven to be true, like beyond any shadow of a doubt. And in fact, the one thing that people still talk about, how pacifiers like can ruin your teeth or deform your soft palate, are completely irrelevant because pacifiers are made of much softer, more malleable materials than they used to be. So even if they did used to do that, which there's no solid evidence that they did, even if they did used to do that, a baby's palate and a baby's incoming teeth are made of far stronger material than pacifiers are. So that's a moot point at this point. They don't affect speech. They don't affect growth. They are simply pacifiers. They are there to pacify. So I was like, well, my book hasn't come in. I cannot cover the 2026 Baby Berenstain Bears book, Pacifier Time, although it looks fascinating and it has baby bear. Was that Buddy Bear, I think, on the cover, in his little acorn overalls, holding up a pacifier and knowingly pointing at the pacifier like, ah, that's what the plot of this book is. It's about this thing. Don't have it yet. Can't read it. It's not available digitally. The Baby Bear and St. Bear's books are not available as ebooks. So I'm going to have to wait for that hardback to arrive. In the interim, what am I going to do? What can I possibly talk about besides the Berenstain Bears book Pacifier Time? Well, because I couldn't read this book, I instead decided to read 12 board books that covered the same topic. I was like, the last time I covered this subject, I knew intellectually that there were a lot of books out there about this. So I decided to scrounge up my resources and see what I could come up with, what books were available online for me to look at, what books I could read through maybe less ethical sources, what books have been scanned or posted or whatever. And there's actually quite a few. And I narrowed it down to 12 books. Change is what? Change is coming, change is something. The titles of the books are No More Pacifier, Bye Bye Pacifier, Bye Bye Binky, Little Bunny's Pacifier Plan, Bye Bye Pacifier with Lift the Flaps. Not the same as the other Bye Bye Pacifier, by the way. It's a different, completely different book, but it's called Bye Bye Pacifier with Lift the Flaps. It's Time to Give Up Your Pacifier. No More Pacifier for Piggy, not to be confused with the book Bye Bye Pacifier, which features Baby Piggy from The Muppet Babies as the main character. This is a different book about a different pig having to give up a different pacifier. The Last Nunu by Jill Murphy. I Want My Pacifier. Clara and the Binky Fairy, which is a thing I had never heard of, but is apparently a thing. Bye Bye Binky, not to be confused with the previous book, Bye Bye Binky. This is a book by a Japanese author that's been translated into English. And Pacifiers Are Not Forever. A few things of note. Three of the book covers feature African-American children. Several of the book covers feature anthropomorphic animals, a rabbit, a pig, a cat, some sort of a goblin. And several of these books, although it's not apparent from the cover, several of these books make reference to the mythological figure of the Binky Fairy, which is something, again, I'd never heard of. Several of them refer to the different names pacifiers may go by, and a few of them have in the back parents' guides for when you're done reading the book. Now, as with many of the Berenstain Bears books I've covered, some of these books seem to be written more for the benefit of the parent. Some of these books seem to be written more for the benefit of the child. But I'm going to list a few things that I found as recurring themes throughout these books, and what I think is good and what I think is bad, what I think might actually be harmful to children. Very many of these books, and I would suggest looking for these things if you're going to get a board book to read to your child. First of all, many of the books come up with some sort of a step-by-step plan for a child, like how to get rid of your pacifier. And some of these plans, though, are underhanded. So make sure if you're buying a book with the intention of reading it to your child, you're not giving away the whole game as you start out. If the book is like, tell your child this. I'm like, well, no. Or mommy pretended that, well, the child, if you're reading, that's just a general rule of thumb. And that, to me, that's a good indication that the author didn't really think it through very much. So there's a few common themes. One of them is and these are things that these books say out loud that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Pacifiers are for babies. Big kids don't use pacifiers. So it's presented a couple of ways. If the books are told in first person from the perspective of the child, it's like, I started noticing that all my friends aren't using pacifiers, but I still am because I like it. I like using it. Many of the books, however, have the parents saying right out, you're not a baby anymore. Only babies use pacifiers. These pacifiers, you shouldn't be using them because you're a big kid now and it's time to start getting rid of your pacifier. And I can tell you that might backfire on you. Kids are really good at doubling down on the things that they want and the things that they're comfortable with and the things that they're used to. And it's important to remember that pacifiers are not stuffies. They're not video games. They're not favorite foods. Pacifiers serve a specific biological function in that they allow the child to replicate the nursing motion with their mouths, which stimulates hormones in their bodies that provide great comfort, that provide calming and soothing feelings for the child that make them feel safe, that make them feel secure. Now, these are feelings that a child can start finding in other ways, but there's really no substitute for that physiological stimulation, for that I'm putting something in my mouth and I'm simulating nursing, because your brain tells you what to do. The body wants to do that. And for many kids, there's insecurities, there's fears, there's all kinds of social reasons that a pacifier is something that they would want in their mouth, find comfortable. Now, again, though, it's also a habit that they are going to want to break eventually, but it's not necessarily a harmful thing. And I can understand why parents would want their children to sort of look at their friends and be like, you don't want to keep looking like the baby in the group, do you? I can see where a parent's drive would go in that direction, but shame has never been a good way to get a child to do anything. It might work, but it's not going to have a positive overall effect. You don't want to use embarrassment as a stick to get your kid to go in a certain direction. A bunch of the books use concepts like, when you use a pacifier, it's hard for you to eat, it's hard for you to smile, it's hard for you to talk, people have trouble understanding you, you lose it sometimes, and then we have to focus all of our time on just finding your pacifier when you could be doing other things like playing. And I like that. I like that it's like, look, there's more things you can do without the pacifier than there's things that you can do with the pacifier. The pacifier keeps us from seeing your face. It keeps you from, you know, singing a song if, you know, without pulling it out and maybe losing it. And a bunch of these books cover that. Now, some of these books present the child coming to the realization that their friends are growing out of their own pacifiers sort of organically. Has the child be like, I noticed that a bunch of my friends aren't using these anymore. I don't find that off-putting because that's just one of those little like seeds a child will plant in their own head and be like, But really, I just want to I think you should avoid anything that relies on shaming from any direction, even if it's portrayed as bad. Like I don't feel like if a child is sucking on a pacifier for security, the last thing you want to do is make them more insecure. a few things. No More Pacifier presented the idea that and it's the first one I read, and it actually like sort of emotionally hit me because it really showed the connection between a child and their pacifier. Like it was a thing that like the child anthropomorphizes things beyond what an adult might think they do. So it's not just that the child is relying on this thing for emotional like support and stability. It's that actually some children actually they think of their pacifier as their friend or their companion or a thing that like they would feel guilty not having with them. And so the No More Pacifier sort of presents a plan to wean your child off of the pacifier. And several of the books do this where you're like, well, how about we try some things like pacifier is only used, you know, we can only have pacifier with us in the house. So then the child just, once you leave the house, you have to say goodbye to the pacifier, put it in a special place. And then you sort of work out, well, pacifier now is no longer a thing we can have in the kitchen because we need to, you know, you need to eat. It needs to be nice. But we'll let pacifier can't go into the kitchen now. And then it's like pacifier doesn't come downstairs. Pacifier only stays in your bedroom. Pacifier only lives on the side table. You only use pacifier at night, or you only use pacifier during bath time. And then slowly it's like, well, now pacifier just wants to sleep next to you on the night table, or let's make a little box. Bed for pacifier. And I know that it seems long and drawn out, but that is one of those things that like kids respond well to, because you're sort of respecting their boundaries and you're respecting this thing that they've added a lot of like emotion to. They've invested a lot of time in it. But I got choked up reading that book because I as parents tend to anthropomorphize our children's belongings as well. Like, there's things that we don't want to part with because they remind us of things. And that feeling, I wonder how many parents do that with the pacifier too. Like, it's actually harder for the parent to even though the parent wants the child to separate from it, it's actually harder for the parent, whether they know it or not, because they still see this thing as a sign of their innocent baby. A few of the books do point out that pacifiers are kind of annoying for parents because they get lost all the time. And the parents have to dig new ones out. There's something that they keep referring to in these books as the Binky Fairy. And it wasn't until I got to Clara and the Binky Fairy, which is a much longer book, that I kind of learned what it was. There was a couple of books that touched on it, but I wasn't really sure if this was like what this thing was. And the idea behind the Binky Fairy is it's like the Tooth Fairy, where the idea is that you gather all the pacifiers in the house up. You put them in a bag or a box. And you tell your child, like, you do this with your child. Like, because the Binky Fairy is going to be coming. And what the Binky Fairy does is in the middle of the night, she comes and she takes away all the pacifiers and distributes them to babies who need them. And will leave like you a little toy or something like the Tooth Fairy does. Like in the place of the pacifier, the pacifier fairy gives you a magical gift. And the book Clara and the Binky Fairy goes into this. I think a little too much. Like Clara visits the Binky Fairy's world and like the Tooth Fairy grinds up teeth and turns them into magic dust. I take the Binkies and I redistribute them to other babies. And even though you wouldn't really necessarily give a used pacifier to a baby, that's not something that like a child, I don't think a child would really do. Even though there's a couple of books on the list that actually have the child do that. Like, I'll just give this to my new baby so and such. And it's kind of gross. I'm like, no parent would be like, thank you for the used pacifier. I'm going to put it in my newborn baby's mouth. It's not going to happen. So there's a couple of books in here that really rubbed me the wrong way. And the two I'm going to call out are I Want My Pacifier by Toni Ross and Jill Murphy's The Last Nunu, because these are books that parents might pick up at a used bookstore or someplace thinking like, I can give my kid a good get rid of your pacifier book. And I Want My Pacifier is very much about how pacifiers turn kids into brats. Basically, it's about a princess who doesn't want to give up her pacifier. And people are like, well, you can't eat without a pacifier. She's like, I don't care. And they keep trying to like tug the pacifier away from her and get it away from her. But she's like just really kind of like belligerent and unpleasant and keeps demanding the pacifier back. And they try to hide it and she finds it cleans it off and stuff. And then finally, at the end, her brother is like, you look stupid. He like literally says, he literally says, that pacifier looks stupid. And she's like, well, it's not mine. And then she gives it to like her stuffed animal and she's like, it's his. And that's that weird shaming like thing. Like it doesn't like, I don't think it helps to say that like what you're doing looks stupid. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's more of a joke. Like the kid, you can try to strong arm your kid into doing something, but all you have to do is tell them that they look dumb doing it. And that's the joke. Like that's haha. That's kids for you. Or they'll listen to their brothers, but I don't see it as a useful book for a child. Like maybe a child who's already given up their pacifier and wants to feel smug about it, I guess. But the absolute worst one was The Last Nunu, Jill Murphy's Last Nunu. I don't know if this is like a series or what, but it's set in this world of monsters. So the main character is like a green goblin and like he's a child and there's like the parents are goblins and the friends are goblins. Like everyone's goblins. Like there are these monsters. And it's about this kid who's grandmother is an awful human being or monster, but awful, awful person, just an absolutely awful person. And he's at his house, he's watching TV and his mom is there and his grandmother is there. And his grandmother is just constantly berating him in front of or in saying horrible things about him in front of his mother, but in front of him, about how stupid he looks with a pacifier in his mouth. About how embarrassing it is to have a kid who still uses a pacifier or a nunu, as he calls it. Or she calls it a dummy. She's like, he's sitting there with that dummy in his mouth. And he's like, it's called a nunu. And he's the only one of his friends who still uses it. So he goes home and his grandmother is just like literally like always ragging on him. Like being just mean and insulting and insinuating that his mother's a bad mother. And his mother's not defending him. Like not saying like, please don't say that about my child in front of my child. Like, please, mother, like she's not doing any of that. But also all the kids in school are constantly ragging on him for using this nunu, for having a pacifier. And he's actually like presented as fairly like unfazed by this. Like, maybe it's getting to him, but it just sort of makes him dig in his heels and just want to continue having this Nunu. So in order to help him, his grandmother, like, gathers all of his pacifiers together and throws them away in the garbage, like in the trash can outside. But he has pacifiers stashed all over the house, and so he keeps getting them back. And his mother keeps finding him and throwing them away, and eventually he'll lose one or misplace one, and it'll get thrown away, and he starts running out of them. So he takes a pacifier and he buries it in the backyard. Meanwhile, his friends, the bullies, the kids at school, are like sick and tired of seeing him with this pacifier in his mouth, which I'm like, who cares? But in any case, they take a broom and attach a hook on the end of it. And when he walks by one day, they hook the pacifier with the hook and start like trying to yank it out of his mouth. But he grabs onto a light pole and it becomes this big like tug of war between the group of kids who want to get rid of his pacifier and him. And finally, everything breaks. They all fall down. The pacifier flies through the air and lands in the pond, and he can't get to it. But it says, like, as he's fighting with these kids, it says, and there they would still be if Marlin had not decided just at that very moment that perhaps he was too old to have a Nunu anymore. He decides that he's pressured by his friends into getting rid of it. He's not even pressured by his friends. He's bullied into giving it up. So he goes home and he tells his mother, "I threw it in the pond." And she's like, "Wow." And his grandmother, who's, again, a terrible person, is like, "Told you, you gotta be firm with these kids." And he's like, "Well, I planted one. So if I need one, just in case, I'll have a tree that grows them." And his mother's like, "Well, that's nice." And his grandmother is still like, "You're an idiot. Like, dummies don't grow on trees. How ridiculous." Not what this loathsome character. And then the last page is a tree that has actually grown pacifiers, and he's plucked one off and has a basket full of them on his arm. So I guess it worked because they live in a monster world. Like, they live in a magical world, I guess. It doesn't make any sense. It's a nightmarish book. Like, the loathsome characters. It's not funny. It's just really, it's well illustrated. Like, it is very well illustrated, but it's an ugly book. Like, no one treats anyone well in it. And maybe that's, I don't know. Again, maybe it might be a series where all the characters are just constantly terrible to each other, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it. And if you're trying to get a book for your kid about giving, if you're telling them that they might get like assaulted by their classmates and that their grandmother thinks they're an idiot, isn't probably the way to go. None of these books, I think, are going to be the smoking gun that's going to convince your kid to give up. Maybe the idea of the pacifier fairy, I don't know. But what I am curious about is how the new Berenstain, the baby Berenstain Bears book, is going to handle it. I haven't read it yet. But I know that Mike has done his work on these subjects, so I'm curious to see what the bear in that does. How does the bear give it up? Because the one before this was called A Fond Farewell, if we remember correctly. The one before this was called Berenstain Baby Bears Pacifier Days of Fond Farewell. This one's just called Pacifier Time. So maybe it's just always time for a pacifier is the lesson we learned. Anytime is pacifier time. It's always pacifier time somewhere. So that is, that is 12 books about pacifiers. The kid always gives it the pacifier in the end is the moral, whether they're shamed into it, whether they're coaxed into it, whether they're tricked into it, they always give it up. I guess as a parent, from my perspective, kids, they're not going to suck on them forever. They're not going to suck on them forever. And even if there is some peer pressure to get rid of them, that the kids usually feel that themselves. And if there's a reason the child is so resistant to giving it up that you're at your wit's end, maybe there's something else the child needs that they can't find a substitute for. Maybe there's severe insecurities going on, or self-esteem issues, or anxiety issues that the pacifier is helping with, and that there's probably better ways for them to learn to cope with. Maybe they need to see a child therapist. Maybe they need to talk it through with a counselor. Who knows? But there might be something. So rather than just sort of ripping it out of their mouths, maybe it's a good idea to ask, what is that pacifier fulfilling that the child needs, and that makes the child feel good. So that's it. That was this week's Deep in Bear Country. No Berenstain Bears, a lot of pigs and bunnies and princesses and fairies and goblins, but no Berenstain Bears, not even a bear among them. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. If you're watching this on YouTube, really appreciate you if you're watching it on YouTube. If you like this, if you're on YouTube and you like this, give it a like. Otherwise, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you back next week, fingers crossed, with a pacifier book in my hot little hands, deep in bear country.